Financial Services Group Investec released its interim results today, reporting double-digit growth in profits driven by gains in its asset management businesses, with the UK being the outperformer in that regard, but its wealth and investment divisions the pressure points, with both its operating geographies seeing declines on that end. The companies announced that the separate listing of its asset management business in London will be completed in the second half of 2019, and Hendrik du Toit, who's co-CEO of Investec, joins us on the line now for some perspective on the numbers released today. Hendrik, thanks so much for your time this evening. So quite a mixed bag of results that we're looking at here. On a geographic basis, you have your UK arm managing to offset some of the stagnant growth you're seeing on your Southern African division. How do we sum up the past 6 months?
Good evening, Alicia. I think we should sum it up by saying this was a solid operating performance in a fairly challenging environment, and where geographically we had a recovery in the UK, particularly in the banking business, and a strong performance in international asset management.
Let's hone in on that banking division, because as you highlight, you know, it's one of the segments that really buoyed things. Profits there up 19%, with a material decrease in impairment charges being noted due to no longer incurring substantial losses on your legacy banking portfolio, and that taking effect. So you are working off a more of a clean slate right now, right?
Exactly. I think we've spent some time post the financial crisis to restore strength and make sure particularly our UK banking business is battle ready for growth. And that is exactly where we told you we would be when we were at the end of the financial year in March. We said that we'll get there. And clearly that has been delivered. And we need to now work very hard to continue with that momentum.
Yeah. Momentum on that end. Let's drill down into momentum on the Southern African side of things, because, you know, Southern African specialist banking is your largest operating profit generator, and it's suffering declines right now, albeit slight, on the back of subdued activity reflecting in softer loan book growth, low in client flow, trading levels, and a weaker performance from your equity and investment property portfolios as well. So how do you start turning that picture around where you're dealing with an operating context of distress?
Firstly, Alicia, we report in pounds, and there was a slight weakness in the rand, which if you looked at it in rand terms, our South African businesses were marginally positive. And they're operating in a very, very tight set of economic circumstances. We believe it is appropriate for them also to be quite conservative in terms of balance sheet growth, et cetera, because if you chase earnings at the wrong time of the cycle, you can get hurt. We think the business is strong, stable, and will work on or will improve returns as the economic conditions improve. Our client base is pretty resilient because we deal in a very focused upper end, but you cannot escape the cycle.
Absolutely. Hendrik, with new management at the helm, though, I've got to ask to what extent you're injecting new blood into that specialist banking unit nevertheless.
I think we've decided, Fani Titi and I decided, to, with support from the board, to inject new energy into the business, into the whole group, by announcing the plans to demerge the asset management business from the bank and wealth unit, and create two focused, more simple, more specialist units, which in our opinion should be positioned over the next few months for long-term growth. Yeah. And we think that is the exciting bit, rather than, you know, we're very, very happy and supportive of the current management teams we have.
That, you know, future growth is very much dependent on bringing costs down while generating revenue and also a better allocation of capital. Talk us through that capital spend and where you're making capital commitments right now.
I think from a capital allocation point of view, we are really going to allocate capital to where returns are. If you look at any criticism we've had over time, is that our return on equity could have been higher as a business, and we want to make sure we commit to really good use of capital in the areas of higher returns. So one of our objectives is to increase the return on equity in our business and be extremely disciplined in where we allocate capital. So we don't want lazy balance sheets, and I think very importantly, along with that, is cost discipline, not in a big once-off cost-cutting way, but in an ongoing way, caring about costs and making sure that we operate as tightly as possible while still delivering on our promise for clients.
Hendrik, just looking at some of the spend you have directed towards the wealth management space specifically, I mean, you've seen the cost of new IT hires and then compliance requirements come to bear on your operating profits in that wealth management and investment division. How soon before you expect to start seeing things pay off on that end?
One of the best businesses in the group is our wealth and investment business. Particularly in the UK, where we have an absolute leading franchise. Unfortunately, with a regulatory avalanche that hit us over the last few years, particularly MiFID II, but also GDPR, all these acronyms are new sets of rules enforced by the European authorities, we have to spend significant amounts of money to make sure we remain compliant. But I think most of that's done. These businesses, however, are market dependent, and when markets are as tough as they are now, one mustn't be overly bullish. But long term, in our wealth and investment division, we generate very high returns on equity and very good value for our shareholders. So I'm confident that once the spend's over, the growth will resume.
Hendrik, all of that being said, is that why you've been quite tight on your dividend payout? I mean, yes, it's been upped, but raising it only 4.8%.
Yeah, we pay in pence. So if you make something 11 pence, you can't make it 11.1 or 0.2, and we just thought it's right that you pay less, not more, than your earnings growth, because you need to have a dividend cover which allows you to retain cash in the business to reinvest as well. So it's a very simple sort of arithmetic, and but you're also signaling some conservatism about the near term.
Well, let's leave it there. Hendrik, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Hendrik du Toit, co-CEO of Investec.